Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4 this evening. We'll start in verse number 3. Read responsively all the way through verse number 13. Genesis chapter number 4. I'll begin reading in verse number 3. Then you'll join me on verse number 4. We'll alternate like that all the way down through verse number 13. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse number 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, Why hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. And let's pray. Father, Lord, we truly are thankful for the life you've called us to live. Lord, it's exciting to see you work. Lord, it's a shame when Christians go through this life not excited about the work of God and not excited about the day and age we live. There's a lot that's wrong. But Lord, there's such a great responsibility and there's so many works that you want to do through our lives. And it would be a shame if we missed out on seeing you do those things in our life just because of a lack of faith. And here we are tonight, Lord, once again, not necessarily because we're required to be, although it pleases you that we're here. We're here tonight because we're hungry and we have a desire to learn more about the Bible, to learn more about what our responsibility is, to be encouraged and to be strengthened to do more for you. Be with our pastor now. Would you please fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches? We yield ourselves now to you during this time. Please speak to our hearts. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them in a little while here. Let me bring you up to speed where we're at in the scripture. Adam was created by God. Eve was created by God from the rib of man later. Probably some time later. They weren't created the same day. Don't know if it was the same year. Don't know if it was many years. There's no timeline before them. By the way, it doesn't matter. I will tell you this. By Genesis chapter 4, much time has taken place from Genesis chapter 3 to Genesis chapter 4. You have here two brothers, Cain and Abel, who are adult men. They're not children. They are men that are farmers. One tills the ground and is what we would call a crop farmer. The other was a herdsman who took care of sheep and cattle and different things. And they probably worked close to one another, maybe worked with one another. But God required that a sacrifice for salvation, not for people to get salvation, but to prove their salvation, a sacrifice had to be made on a regular basis. It didn't make somebody saved. You have to understand, that would be like saying the Lord's Supper or what some would call communion. Communion doesn't save anybody. It's just the picture of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. The New Testament equivalent to Old Testament sacrifices is the Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood. And that's exactly what these sacrifices were. And in the Old Testament, because Jesus had not yet come, it was a bit more severe because it takes more faith to believe something is going to happen than we look back knowing it did happen. That's like people saying we're crazy looking forward to Jesus coming back at the rapture. Hasn't happened yet. After it happens, they're going to say, wish I'd listened to them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So it takes a little bit more faith to look ahead than it does to look back. Now, Cain and Abel are grown men. I'm sure they're younger men, but I don't know how old, don't know how young, doesn't matter. But Cain, he's tiller of the ground. Abel kept herds. The Bible says in verse number 4, and Abel, he brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why? Because God required a blood sacrifice, correct? Now watch this, verse number 5. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Why? Because Cain brought her the fruit of the ground. He brought plants. He brought corn. He brought taters. He brought squash. I understand why God did not respect that. I'm sure if he had peas in there, God didn't like it for sure. Amen? Now, I say that to say Cain disobeyed and he did it his way. He did not respect God's way. Matter of fact, if you look down to about verse number 7, if thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now look at me. That term sin lieth at the door, that means this. There was a sin offering lying at the door. In other words, all Cain had to do was open that door and there was a lamb crouched ready to leap into his arms that he could present to God. What did Cain say? And Cain talked with it, and he said, I'm not going to do it. God, if you don't like what I have to say, if you don't like what I have to bring, tough. Ooh. He said, I brought you of what I have. He didn't want to humble himself and take some of his crops and purchase a lamb from his brother. God said, you don't even have to purchase it. I got it lying at the doors. All you got to do is open the door. It reminds you of a verse in Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. But it also reminds me of a verse in the book of Jude that says, thou hast gone in the way of Cain. You've rejected it. God says to Abel, I respect you. He says to Cain, you're disobeying me and I don't respect you. I don't respect your offering. It's not right. You're not following the rules. Now, the Bible says that Cain got so angry, not at God, at Abel, that one day while they were in the field that Cain rises up and kills his brother. God comes to Cain and says, Cain, where's Abel, your brother? He said, who am I, my brother's keeper? Well, my job to keep track of my brother. And God says, Cain, I know what happened because your brother's blood's crying from the ground and I hear it. And he said, I'm going to punish you. Look at verse number 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. We didn't read these next verses. Cain was afraid that his punishment was so bad that somebody would kill him. God said that he would protect him and that people would not kill him, but he was going to pay this price the rest of his life. Verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. He had to go and live in a different place. By the way, cities were already established. Too many of us read this thinking there was only four people on the face of the earth at the time. Adam, Eve, Abel, and Cain. That's not true. Now, look at me if you will. I'm going to give you seven statements, and then I'm going to preach the sermon. All right? I'm going to give you seven statements. I'm going to preach tonight about rules and authority. Rules and authority. Statement number one, Cain was rebuked by God, the authority. Let me make a statement to you. You'll never get through life without being corrected or rebuked by authority sometime. Never. Cain was trying to do right the wrong way. Cain wanted to do right his way. Did Cain bring an offering? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Did he bring the right kind of offering? No, he did not. Well, God, I'm doing it my way. I don't need to do it your way. By the way, sounds very familiar. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. It's amazing. In Genesis chapter 3, when Satan is talking to Adam and Eve, look at verse number 5. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Eve, you don't need God to tell you what's right and wrong. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you could be like God yourself, and you could decide right and wrong for yourself. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Look at our world today. Do you think they think they're living wrong? Oh, no. They think we're living wrong because it doesn't agree with them. We're living in the days of every man does that which is right in their own eyes. Cain tried to do a right thing, but he did it his way, not God's way. Cain was happy. Until the authority said you did something the wrong way. Isn't it amazing how we go through life and everything's fine until we get caught doing something the wrong way? Well, officer, I wasn't speeding that much. I was only going 5 miles an hour. You're supposed to give me 10 miles an hour over. If you're going 1 mile an hour over, you can get stopped. Well, that's not right. That's not fair. Yes, it is. You broke the law. Ouch. I went from preaching to meddling just that quick, didn't I? You see, it's amazing how that we think everything's fine until authority points out our problem. Matter of fact, God provided a second chance for Cain to keep the rule. God looked at Cain and said, Cain, you did wrong, but if you'll just accept what I give you, I'll take it back as payment. Boy, isn't this a picture of religion in our world today? Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Christianity is we obey what the scripture says. I am so sick up to here with religion. Well, you got to join the church and you got to get baptized and you got to live a certain way and you got to lay on the floor and flip and flop and speak in unknown jibber jabber and then you know you're going to heaven, you think you hope. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the authority said, everybody's a sinner. We've all done wrong. We've all chosen to do wrong and you don't have the right sacrifice. And God's provided it for us in his name was Jesus Christ. He was left heaven, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, lived our righteousness for us, shed his blood at Calvary, died, was buried, and resurrected 3 days and three nights later, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and he paid the price for us. Sin is lying at the door. All we have to do is open the door and accept it. It's not a matter of what you do, it's a matter of what he did. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. So religion is wrong because, well, you shouldn't preach that way. You have a mean spirit. Sin is sin. Amen. I might have a bad spirit about sin, but I also have a bad spirit about people dying and going to hell. I'll do everything I can to preach right so that they can find their way to heaven. And it's not by my righteousness, it's not by my preaching, it's by the truth of the Word of God, people trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, not by their own goodness. Now, God even gave Cain a second chance. So statement number one, Cain was rebuked by an authority. Number two, Cain got bitter at the authority when he got rebuked. May I say something? When's the last time somebody who had authority in your life rebuked you and you got angry? Yeah, paint that smile on your face, amen? You see, the letter of the law had to be enforced because it's the letter of the law that kills yourself. It's amazing how we want the rules to apply to everybody but ourselves. It's okay for you to speed because you're late and running behind. And if the officer stops you, well, I had an emergency. But when somebody else is driving past you like you just passed somebody else, you want to get mad and hope there's a police officer down there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Ouch. Went to meddling again. When you get rebuked by the authority is telling you, I don't like what you're doing, and I don't like how you are. That bothers us personally. If I were to say to Brother Josh, I don't like your suit. It doesn't match. Now, wait a minute. It does, but I'm colorblind, so it doesn't matter. Amen? Now, wait a second. If I rebuked him and saying, Brother Josh, you didn't do something right today, and I'm gonna correct you for it. Now, I'm not, first of all, not going to do it in front of everybody. If he did something wrong, he'll find out about it a few days or a few weeks down the road. It'll be in private in my office. Now, if somebody stands up in this pulpit and they start preaching bad doctrine, I'm going to tackle him and I'm going to finish the sermon the right way. They'll sit down very quickly. I'll get up and stop a sermon. Number one, I'll do my homework so they're not going to preach that kind of thing. But if for some reason they changed since the last time I talked to them, I'm going to tackle them and get them out of here. Tagged, they're it, amen? I'll get a couple of you big fellers and sit on him on the front row, and then I'll preach the devil out of him for a while. You say, preacher, you'd do that in a heartbeat. I won't let bad doctrine be preached from behind this pulpit. That doesn't mean I'm going to agree 100% with everything that everybody says. I have an opinion too. But as long as they're right scripturally, I don't give a rip. I don't think it's wrong for a guy to wear a colored shirt. When I was going to college, if you wore something other than a white shirt, there was people that thought you were the second coming of Satan. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. All right? Now, personally, I'm not going to wear a pink one. That's just me. But by the way, there's nothing sinful about it if a man does. Now, you may say, well, that's not me. Okay, that's not you. But I'm not going to criticize somebody else. I'm just not going to do it. Not going to do it. Say why? I'm not doing it. Now, but if one of you men comes in with a pink shirt, God bless you. Doesn't bother me. I'm so colorblind, I probably won't be able to show what color it is anyway. Now, yeah, I know you will. We're not supposed to get angry, though, when authority criticizes or corrects us. No one likes being told what they did isn't right. Oh, let me bring it down to where we live. It's okay for a teacher to correct somebody else's kid, but when they correct yours, something's not right with the teacher. When they mark it wrong on your test paper, well, I got the main idea. It's still a wrong answer. Wrong answer. You'd be okay. How about if we read a Bible that's close to being right? Ouch. You expect more of God than you do yourself or your kid? If it's not right, it's wrong. Plain and simple. Everybody doing all right? Okay, that one's going over real hard. Number three, Cain attacked his righteous brother. Am I my brother's keeper? Did you see what they did wrong? Isn't it amazing when somebody gets corrected, they want to point out the wrong in everybody else? When the teacher corrects your child, you want to show everybody else what the teacher did wrong. Your first response is to attack the teacher or the administration or somebody else, or somebody else's child that was involved. Well, so-and-so did it and they didn't get demerits for it. How do you know? I always think it's funny that I never have to wonder if somebody got demerits because the kids always talk about it. They tell on themselves. It's amazing. We don't publish in front of all the school who got demerits this week. Everybody doing all right? Now, if somebody did something wrong that everybody needs to understand and clarify it, we might let them know. But it's not a public humiliation. It's a general warning for everybody. Everybody doing all right? That's good stuff. Amen. Well, they didn't get in trouble. They may not have gotten caught this time, but I wonder what they got caught for that you didn't know about. Isn't it amazing? We always want to tear down people to our level instead of rising to the level God wants us to be. Isn't it amazing we want to tear everybody down to where we are instead of us saying, that hurt, let's go up to this level. There were times when this precious little child got demerits that I didn't think he deserved. Not very often. But he's heard this statement many times. What did you do that you didn't get caught for, and you're getting caught now? And even if you didn't do it this time, you thought about it, so just suck it down. Or in the words of my daughter, suck it up, buttercup. Amen? We want to take each individual thing. How many times have we done things wrong and didn't get caught, and the one time we think we were mistreated, we want to throw such a big hissy fit over it? Bless God, you did things wrong you didn't get caught for. Just suck it down. Anybody doing all right? We're always wanting to tear people down to where we are, to where somebody is lower than us. How about we rise up and go to where God is? Number four, Cain got self-righteous. He claimed ignorance. Isn't it amazing when somebody gets caught doing wrong? Well, I didn't know that was wrong. Everybody doing all right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'm watching some of you nodding your head, all right? I didn't know that was against the rules. It was okay last time I did it. In other words, you didn't get caught last time. Cain got critical of the leader and the rules. Cain got critical at God. God, if you don't like it, too bad. God, I'm not changing what I did. Isn't it amazing how we want to defend and get self-righteous? Mr. Officer, I was only doing 5 miles out over. Key statement, you were over. Well, you're not supposed to stop me at 5. Everybody doing all right? Somebody's feeling conviction. I can sense it. Amen? Isn't it amazing that when our children do wrong or somebody does wrong and we correct them, we now want to go after the teacher or the principal or the administration or the rules or the rule book? Well, that's a dumb rule. Well, can I tell you something? If you had to take care of a group of people, you'd understand why the rule's there. There are some rules that are there because it's the only way to administrate right and wrong. Let me use the silly rule of no chewing gum in school. Is it sinful to chew gum? No. What people do with gum can be sinful. And on any given day, at any given moment of any day, every person is guilty of doing the wrong thing with a piece of gum. Whether it's just sitting there popping it while everybody else is quiet. Pop, pop, pop. That drives me crazy. And by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. As your pastor, to me, chewing gum is the stupidest thing in the world. Why in the world do you want to put something in your mouth and chew on it and not swallow it? The purpose of chewing is to get it small enough to suck it down the pie hole. Y'all know, I don't chew gum at all, ever. I never chew gum. You say, why? Because it bothers me. People sit there going, pop, 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 with a piece of rubber in their mouth. Now, I'm not saying it's sinful. To me, it's a stupid habit. Now, if you chew gum, that's fine. Just don't leave it under the chair. Don't leave it in the carpet. But I don't want to have to make a determination at every infraction whether that person can chew gum that day. So it's easier to administrate if we say no gum. It makes life a whole lot easier for us to administrate. So when your kid comes to school with gum and is chewing gum, guess what? They're going to get a demerit for it. Say why? Because I don't want to have to administrate whether they have the character to chew it the right way or not. Everybody understand that? That's a silly rule. Yeah, it might be a silly rule, but it's the best way to administrate it. And there are a lot of rules that you may not understand, but administrating it makes it that way. That's why a lot of companies go to uniforms. They go to a uniform so they could administrate what the employees wear for safety as well as for decency in some cases. When I worked at a machine shop, they had a rule at the machine shop. You weren't allowed to wear any jewelry around your neck or on your hands. You couldn't wear a wedding ring. You couldn't wear watches. If you wore bracelets or anything, or you couldn't wear a necklace, not that I would, but you couldn't, because when you're working around machinery, as my dad told me before I started working there, those machines don't care whether they cut metal or cut you. They don't have any feelings. I watched a man, while in that shop, did not listen to that rule, got his finger caught in the spindle of a lathe, and that wedding ring ripped every piece of meat and flesh off of his fingers. All it was a bone with three bones sticking up. I understood why the rule was there. Some fool didn't follow the rule. Hey, that rhymed. But we want to criticize. Well, that's dumb. I got married. I got married. I want to wear my ring. Well, go ahead and wear your ring, but you're going to rip your finger off. Every day I went to work after I got married, I took my ring off, kept it in my locker. Say why? I valued that finger. I understood it. So, number four, Cain got self-righteous. Number five, Cain shirked or bypassed his own responsibilities. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, we're supposed to look out for one another. We're supposed to love each other enough to care about where they're at. Or make the statement like this. Well, I did it last time. It's their turn now. How come they don't have to do it? Because they already did it the right way the first time, dummy. Isn't it amazing? I know, I shouldn't use that word. It's okay, you'll get over it. When you get rebuked by an authority, you want to point out the wrong in everybody else. And then you don't want to do anything because your feelings are hurt. Ouch. Number six, Cain ran because he got a bitter spirit. He ran. He decided, I got to run away. I'll be a vagabond the rest of my life because my punishment is greater than I can bear. I'm going to be too embarrassed. So I'm going to run away. Brother Myers, that's about as stupid as an 18-year-old boy looking at his daddy saying, I'm sick and tired of the rules. I'm going to go join the military. I wished I had a dollar for every time I heard that said, Brother Mike. I'd be a rich man. I'm tired of these rules. I'm going to go join the Marine Corps. Dumb, Gomer. You can run, but you can't hide from God. You can run, but you can't hide from authority. You might even run and hide from the police, but eventually it'll catch up. Number 7, Cain was cursed more than he thought he could bear. The punishment of sin is always worse than the temporary pleasure of sin. I'm going to make some pretty serious statements here. The punishment of the sin of immorality is worse than the temporary pleasure of a few minutes when you have a baby to take care of for the next 18 years. The pleasure of getting high or getting drunk, the punishment for it when you cross the center line and kill somebody and spend the next 20 or 30 years in jail or are responsible for someone's death or harm, is a little bit more important than that little buzz that you had. The punishment of sin is greater than the temporary pleasure it brings. Everybody doing okay? The price of sin is always unbearable. That's why so few people make it back. I'm going to say this. I've said it before. I say it on a regular basis. I'm going to say it again. That's why I think it's a crime and I think it's sinful for any church to stand somebody up in front of the church and make them tell you what they did wrong. That's wicked as the stinking devil. And it needs sent back to hell because it's nowhere in Scripture. First of all, you can't forgive their sin. You're just nosy and want to gossip about some wrong that somebody else did. Second of all, you'd have to get up in front of everybody, and everybody else would have to tell everybody else all the sin in their life before you could do anything with that person's sin. And I don't think you want us to publish everything you've done, do you? I wish you had to sit on the other side of the desk from me and pick up the pieces of people who have been embarrassed in a church like that and get angry at parents and get angry at church and get angry at God because of the way they were mistreated. And I have to look at them and say, I agree with you, it was wrong, but I disagree with you by what you're doing. I have to do it regularly. I think it's criminal. If one of our young people messes up their lives, I'm not going to trot them up here and tell you everything they did wrong. None of your business. They have to bear it the rest of their life. We don't need to add buckets of coals of fire upon it. How about we love them? Doesn't mean we cater to it, but we still should love them. Doesn't mean we condone it, but we can still love them. Boy, that's good stuff. So, let me give you those 7 statements, and then I'm going to preach the sermon. Sermon only lasts a few minutes. Number 1, Cain was rebuked by God and authority. Number 2, Cain got bitter at the authority when rebuked. Number 3, he attacked the righteous person. Number 4, Cain got self-righteous. Number 5, Cain evaded or shirked his responsibilities. Number 6, Cain ran because of a bitter spirit. And Cain, number 7, Cain was cursed more than he could bear. By the way, when you punish your children, make it worse than the pleasure that they had while they did wrong. Well, you sit here and time out and it'll be all right. Gag. I'd have laughed my way to disobedience every time. My dad took care of it. You wouldn't have been able to sit down and time out. Now, my dad didn't beat us. He paddled us. And he didn't have to do it very often because he did it good enough the few times he had to do it. You say, well, that's violence. God says that you ought to beat them with a rod to save their life. You don't let your kids run out in the busy street and say, now, Junior, you ought not do that. You're going to get hurt one of these days. Man, my dad may remember this. I remember it vividly. My brother knew how to push my buttons. I had an older brother. I couldn't have been more than about 4 years old. And he got me so angry. I had a long fuse, but he got me so angry one day, I chased him down the sidewalk with a hoe. And he had me so mad, if I'd have caught him, I probably would have beat him with the hoe. Well, he ran out in the road. I was on the sidewalk. And here come my mom. I got the hoe, swinging it. Keeping my brother out in the road. I said, Chris is out in the road. She grabbed that hoe, grabbed me by the arm, told him to get back on the sidewalk. She took me home, and I got the beating. I said, I was on the sidewalk. She said, yeah, but you had the hoe, and you were going to kill him. Now, I don't know if my brother got in trouble for going out in the road or not. I still don't. That was 50 years ago, plus. Doesn't matter. I got in trouble for chasing him with a hoe. I didn't chase him with a hoe after that. Ball bat, but not a hoe. Wait a minute. I say that to say this. I wanted to point out the wrong he did. I forgot about the wrong I was doing. I remember getting paddled for that one. Mama paddled me when Dad got home. I got paddled again. Man, I got a double whooping. I got a double portion, amen? And chase him with a hoe again. So those seven statements, let me give you two thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, we need rules. We need rules because we're sinners. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Boy, this is a quiet sermon. Amen, preacher. All right, John chapter 14. Look at verse number 15. John chapter 14, verse number 15. If you love me, keep my, what's the next word? Commandments. Oh, does that sound like rules? Yes or no? God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look down to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So in other words, we show God we love him by obeying the what? Rules. I used to tell my children all the time when they did wrong, they hated mom and dad. I said, you hate me. No, I don't. I love you, daddy. No, you don't. Or you'd keep the rule. Ooh, man, that hurt them. I would tell him this. He can probably quote it. I'd say, I love you enough to obey God, and you can't make me disobey God, so I got to correct you. God commanded me if you broke a rule that I'm to correct you, so I'm about to correct you. I love you enough to not disobey God. You don't love your children by letting them get by with wrong. You love them by correcting them. You show them that you love God enough that you'll make them obey. By the way, all three of my children love me. Everybody doing all right? Did you know you need rules? Have you ever tried to play a football game, fellas, with no rules? We called it smear the alphabet soup person. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There was no rules. Say, who won? The last person standing. It wasn't football. It was just brawl with a football. It was fun. Did you know we need rules in driving? There's a yellow line there for a reason. And you're supposed to stay on your side of it, not take up both sides of it. Did you know you're supposed to follow certain speed limits? You're supposed to have car insurance. You're supposed to have your car in good repair. There's certain things, you know, you're only supposed to turn red on certain lights. And you're supposed to stop at those little octagon-shaped things that say STOP. And you're supposed to stop if the light is red. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There are certain rules we must all follow. And if we don't follow those rules, people can get hurt. Say, well, I don't like those rules. Didn't ask you whether you liked them. You're supposed to follow the rules. Everybody doing okay? The problem is not having rules. The problem is we want to be the interpreter of the rules and only enforce the ones that we like, when we like. Let me do something with you for a moment. When I call on you, I want you to give me the first thing that comes to your mind. When I say the word fun, Chris, what comes? Fun.
Fun.
Yes.
Happy.
Happy. All right. Brother Mike, fun.
Chip and trees.
Chip and trees. That's real fun. Big boy toys. Amen. Let's see here. Mrs. Barnes, fun.
Milk and cows.
Milk and cows. Now, wait a minute. She's thinking about being happy. She's thinking about milk and cows, and he's thinking about chipping trees. When God says love, when I say the word love, Mrs. Shoebridge, what do you think?
Jesus.
Okay. Brother Randy?
Family.
Brother Aaron?
Kids.
God says when he thinks love, he thinks rules. Nobody's thinking about rules when it comes to love. Isn't it amazing? Fun to you is happy. You, milking cows. You, chipping wood. Me, killing an animal. Killing deer, shooting squirrels. Putting food on the table, amen? Some of you might be sewing, not me. Doesn't matter what it is. Here's the problem. When it comes to a rule, it's not for your private interpretation. Well, officer, I couldn't tell that thing that says STOP, that's red, that's at the end of the street, I didn't know that that's what that meant. Stop. I thought it meant slow down, make sure nothing was coming, and then hurry up. We want to interpret the rule our way. Ouch. Well, nobody was coming. If he was close enough to see you didn't stop, you didn't stop. Everybody doing okay? 1 John chapter 2. Let me read a verse to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked. I write unto you, little children, because you have not yet known the Father. And that's not the right verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. May I say something right here? When God says love, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we show him we love him by keeping his commandments. And God says love, when we start keeping the rules of the world, we love the world. And the love of the Father is not in us. Now watch this. Do we love the devil and ourselves more than we love God? Then how come we have such a hard time following God's rules? We show our authority how we love them by how we obey that authority. We show our parents our love for them by how we obey them as children. We show our boss how much we respect them by following the rules at work, whether we like them, understand them, or not. Ouch. Children show their teachers how much they love them by obeying the class rules and following the right procedures. If there's an infraction, it doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. It means there's an adjustment that needs made. We show God we love him by how we obey him, not by us looking at ourselves and saying, look how good I am. Yeah, you're nothing but a dirty, rotten sinner. Compare yourself to the righteousness of Christ, not to how good you think you are. So, number one, we need rules. Number two, we need authority. Because we're sinners, we need someone to enforce the rules that we won't naturally do because we're sinners. Everyone needs authority. Did you know in a perfect world we would not need police officers? If everybody would do what they're supposed to do, we wouldn't need police officers. You wouldn't need judges. You wouldn't have lawyers. Okay, case in point. Brother Aaron, if everybody did what they were supposed to do, you wouldn't have that job. True?
Sure.
All right. Guess what? If we would, because we're sinners, we don't. So we have to have those to protect ourselves and to protect others from ourselves. Now watch this. Authority is the enforcer of the rules. That's what a referee or an umpire is to a ball game. That's what police officers are. That's what parents in a home are. That's what a boss is. That's what teachers are. They're authority enforcing rules. Don't get angry at them when they enforce it on you or your child. Why is it the teacher's fault? They're with them 6-7 hours a day. And don't you think you've ever had to correct your kids? You think your kids are perfect? They're your kids. Trust me, they're not. By the way, we need to respect all authority. Something neat about a church. Somebody is always going to be over you, and at times you'll be over them. Yesterday, Brother Josh Bandy and Brother Mike Schenenberger, Friday and Saturday, they were the leader of the tree gang over here. Now, I came to Brother Mike at one point in time and changed up what we were going to do just slightly. But I asked his opinion first. And he agreed. It added a little bit more work to the job. I felt a little bad about it. But if we're going to do it and we got the equipment, might as well do it right. Once we got into it, it's kind of like a refabrication of a room in your house. You start tearing things apart and you start seeing things that were wrong that you didn't see before. He would call it peeling back the onion. We discovered something. I thought through it and decided we need to change it just slightly. So we did. No problem. Now, wait a minute. He was the lead, not me. He was the authority, not me. I let him have the authority there. Now, when it came time to preaching today at church, he's not the authority, I am. You may have your children in our Christian school, and either Brother Josh or Miss Ruth Ann or my wife will be in there, and there's going to be times where maybe their children will be under your leadership. You don't get back at somebody else's children because you think a leader did something to your kids. That's unjust. That's sinful. That's wrong. You're going to have leadership changes in life. We ought to respect all authority and back the authority to our kids, whether we think the authority was right or not. First of all, you weren't there. How did you know? Well, my child told me, you believe everything they say? Maybe we ought not be guilty like Cain and rebel against authority. Rebel against the rules. Authority is the vehicle God has chosen to draw us closer to himself. Authority is the vehicle God has chosen to draw us closer to himself. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. I'll finish in the next 3 minutes, I promise. Hebrews chapter 13. I'll read two verses to you. I'm going to make just a few statements and I'm done. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse number 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Skip down to verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God gave authority to us to make us obey when we choose not to obey. It is the vehicle by which God has chosen to draw us closer to obedience to the word of God and to right and wrong. Now watch this. When you start going against other authority, you're hurting your own authority. When a husband tells his kids that mom's stupid and mom's not right and mom shouldn't do that, guess what? Dad just shot himself right square in the foot with his own kids. When mom says, well, dad doesn't know what he's talking about and you don't need to obey dad, guess what? Mom just shot herself in the foot. When parents go home and says, that crazy preacher, we don't have to do what he says, you just shot yourselves in the foot. No, you don't have to do what I have to say, but we ought to obey God. Not a matter of what I say, I'm just giving you what the Word of God says. And I promise you this, you struggle because you start criticizing other authority because you want the authority. And the more you criticize, the less authority you have. The more you back authority, the more authority you will gain. Guaranteed. I backed my bosses, saved or lost, because I respected their position. Everybody doing okay? You don't have to respect me. But I promise you this, the more you disrespect authority, the less authority you have. Go ahead and criticize the police officer. He'll just keep writing tickets. Or the parking enforcement officer. Amen. You see, you're accountable to God for obeying all authority. Verse 17, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. God didn't say just those who are saved. In other words, most of the problems in life come because we want to be the authority and not let authority be the authority. We want to decide the rules for ourselves and be like Satan and decide good and evil for ourselves. Maybe we should not go in the way of Cain. Rules, they're important. We show God and others we love them by keeping the rules. You know, I show my wife I love her by keeping the rules of marriage. I showed my children that I love them by obeying the rules. By the way, I love my grandchildren, and I love my children and their spouses enough to where I will obey, and I always say before I do something, is it okay? Is it preferable? I'm 55 years old. Do I need their permission? It's their kids, not mine. Well, I'm the grandpa, so... Grandpas need permission from moms and dads. That's the way it's supposed to be. Everybody doing all right? Recently, I got something for Hunter. But before I did, I asked both Ruth Ann and Josh independently if it was okay if I did that. If either one of them, and by the way, I didn't say, can I do this? And they would be gracious and say yes. I said, is it something you want me to do? Not just can I, but is it something you want me to do? When they both agreed, I did it. What if they would have said no, preacher? I wouldn't have done it. And I wouldn't have had my feelings hurt. Their children, not mine. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. Rules and authority. We need rules. We're sinners. We need authority in our life to enforce those rules because we are sinners. We need somebody to make us obey the rule. Let's not go in the way of Cain. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Maybe most of the problems you're facing, the arguments, the fussing, the feuding, the bad hurt feelings are over rules and authority and how we have taken the rules and authority in the way of Cain instead of God's way.